From New York, I'm Evie.
I'm Aaron.
And we're Awesome to Buy Comics.
And we're 150.
Awesome to Buy Comics podcast, episode 150, the premiere episode of season 4 of our weekly wrap-up of the week that was in the world of comics. The season of nothing will ever be the same again.
Oh my goodness.
We have a bunch of categories. We hand out weekly awards to comics, characters, creators, and other things that we are awesome to buy, and some that we are most decidedly not awesome to buy.
It's just like the Oscars. If the Oscars were a weekly podcast, and if Oscar was a psychic monster born of a pregnant ancient ancestor found deep in the jungles, whose embryo had been tampered with to alter its DNA, which was held and studied by scientists who performed horrific gene splicing experiments that made it extremely powerful, but distrusting of humanity.
That could be like anybody.
Think 150.
150.
Think 150. 150. At least 150 or more to see.
Okay. Mewtwo.
Yes, it's Mewtwo. Of course. Who else could I go with for our 150?
I guess show. You're right. That was really dumb of me. I'm sorry.
You're a silly.
I am. Spoiler alert, we will be talking about this week's mountain of millions of
comic books. Oh my goodness, there were so many goddamn comic books. I literally got comics I didn't know I got.
Make sure that you have read everything that you'd like to read, or don't care about the shit you haven't read yet being spoiled, because where'd you go? Aaron just left the room.
I just shut the window.
Okay, was there more pot smell coming through?
No, it was just regular.
Oh.
Regular smoke.
Regular smoke?
Equally gross.
Neighbors. So read your books and hopefully we won't spoil too much. But
you might have to wait on this show for a couple of weeks to read all the friggin' books that came out.
True.
There were a lot of friggin' books. I think this month is going to be
like this.
But we're
not going to talk about all of them.
No, we're not.
Not even remotely. So.
Anyway, so read the books you've read and don't read the books you don't read.
And you'll be fine.
And we're going to swear this episode of the Awesome.
I already did. I'm sorry.
We did?
Yeah, oh. I accidentally already did.
Kitten. This episode of the Awesome.
Come here.
This episode of the Awesome by Comics Podcast is brought to you by, 150 episodes of Awesome to Buy Comics.
Wow.
That's a lot, right?
I hope they paid a lot for that.
They did not.
Oh.
Well, actually, they do. They pay our monthly costs and all the maintenance and upkeep on our computer and
who does
Awesome to Buy Comics?
Oh yeah, they do.
And they pay for our groceries and they pay for our cats.
We are totally like Awesome to Buy Comics is our sugar daddy.
Well, in a way.
Because it's just us.
Well, yes.
We pay our own expenses.
What a hell of a 3 years this has been.
I know, right?
I know.
3 years. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I can't believe we've been doing this for 3 years.
Well, we've been doing it for more than 3 years, actually.
We've been doing it for like 3 years and like 3 months.
Yeah, but I can't believe we've done 150 episodes. I figured...
That's a big-ass number.
That is a big-ass number. I figured we'd be, we'd start it weekly and we'd go to bi-weekly and then monthly and then...
Yeah, but we've done really well.
We've done incredibly. This year was a little bit of a rough
year. Rougher, but I still feel like we've...
What are you doing?
I'm just rubbing my eye.
Okay. That's okay.
I feel like we've pretty much held up our end of the bargain over here.
Well, there is no bargain.
Well, I mean, people expect a show every week. Pretty much do a show every week.
Pretty much. We skipped a bunch last year, but that's cool. We're going to skip a bunch next year as well.
Yeah.
There have been some really, really great people who have sat in as well.
There have.
And I want to take a minute now to thank everyone, not just in the last year, but in the last 3 years.
Please do.
In the last 3 years, we have been joined by such comics luminaries as Kelly Thompson from Three Chicks Review Comics and Comic Book Resources. That was a really fun show. Sue from DC Women Kickin' Ass, mm-hmm. also from Three Chicks Review Comics, another really fun show. Maddie from When Fangirls Attack, another really fun show. David Wolkin from Comics Alliance and Wolkin's House of Waffles.
Mm-hmm. Chicken and Waffles.
Chicken and Waffles. We made him a theme song.
We did make him a theme song. It's really awesome.
You know what? Another really fun show. Jeff Parker, Tom Fowler, together. At last.
That was pretty great.
That was a really fun show.
That was a really fun show.
It was a really fun show. Colleen Coover, one of our favorite artists. That was a really fun show.
That was a great show.
That was a really fun show.
It was great.
Chris Niesman from 11 O'Clock Comics, Around Comics. Chicago, St. Louis Cardinals fan, I believe, from the Tom Caters podcast. That was a really fun show.
He's not a Chicago fan? He lives there.
No, I know. He's a St. Louis fan.
Interesting.
It was a really fun show, though.
Either way, it was a really fun show.
It was a really fun show. Ron Richards, of course, has guest hosted twice.
He's always a fun show.
He's always a fun show.
And I have fun when I go on his show.
I know. Well, you've been on iFanboy.
I've been on iFanboy twice, yeah.
And he's been on our show twice.
Right.
Really fun show.
Really fun.
Really fun. And it was really fun when you were on iFanboy, too. It was a really fun show.
That was really fun.
I know.
And a lot of our listeners came to us.
I know. So. And that was really, it's really fun to get new listeners.
It is.
And, of course, Chris Sims from All the Shit That He Is From. Who has been
He's
on the show
a
like 100 times.
That's right.
And we are on his show again this week.
We are. We're on War Rocket Ajax this week, so...
And I believe, in honor of our 150th episode, I'm being told in my ear, by the voices I hear, that Chris and Matt Wilson, co-host of War Rocket Ajax, the official comic book podcast of Comics Alliance.
Right.
Are on the line right friggin' now.
Holy shit.
I know. So joining us right now on Awesomed by Comics, our special 150th anniversary edition to present, to present a special award for, if I'm reading this correctly, Most Wrong About Everything Always, is our good friends Matt Wilson and Chris Sims from War Rocket Ajax, the official podcast of ComicsAlliance.com. Chris, Matt. Are you there?
We are here, Aaron.
That's right. From South Carolina, I'm Chris.
And from Chicago, I'm Matt.
Matt, we got to get you on the...
not very happy with your choices for awards.
Oh.
Just well, in general? Or
this week or overall?
I think ever.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I would love to say that I have... never had such a good time listening to your show and disagreeing with someone so vehemently, constantly, about how wrong you guys are about Batman and the Grant Morrison run in particular. And I'd love to say that, you know, even through that, I'm glad that we've become friends. But, I mean, the truth is, I was kind of friends with Evie before I started listening to the show.
Yep.
So I'm not really sure what I get out of this.
Well, what about me? You didn't know me before.
Yeah,
and you tolerate me, except only when Evie's around.
That's not true. You guys have done the show a lot.
Oh yeah, we have done the show a lot without when you've been on AWOL. So yeah, Chris.
Yeah, but I've come on the show just to argue with you.
That's true. Well, anyway, Chris and Matt, we've never had you on the show. Why have we never had you on the show? That's a question that you can't answer, and we can. Matt, we're gonna have you on the show.
One of the universe's great mysteries. I'll tell you one thing you guys are wrong about, though, and that's my Meatwad impression, which is awesome.
Have we said it's not awesome?
I think I've said it wasn't awesome. I think I said it was questionable.
Oh, that's right. I think it has a weird accent that I wasn't quite on board with.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it has a non-Meatwad accent.
That's like Meatwad's cousin.
Go back and listen to Meatwad, because he is very Southern. And you will...
He is Southern. I don't think that was the problem. I'm just not...
I was joking, but this is turning raw.
Just like Meatwad. anyway, guys, congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
We're proud about being so wrong.
We are. Always. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to another 150 shows of you guys being wrong.
Let's hope so.
And making me text Evie from the gym.
My favorite Chris texts are, has anybody emailed you about X yet? Like he doesn't say, hey, I wanted to talk to you about whatever. It's, has anyone called you out on that bullshit you said yet? Because if not,
I don't want to be the first person to actually you, but I want to actually you if somebody else already has.
You are always, first of all, you're always saying wrong stuff. Secondly, you are often saying, hey, if anybody knows this, send me an email and let me know. You've done that before.
No, I know. So it's the passive aggressive nature of, hey, has anybody gotten back to you about this yet? Because I might have something to say, maybe.
Hey, did anyone tell you how ugly you are today?
Until 2 days after it goes up, because I listened to it at the gym. So I don't know if someone has written to guide you through these things. That's all.
All right.
I'm offering my services. I usually get paid for that.
Okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
I won't. Thanks, Chris and Matt.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well,
that was disappointing.
Yeah.
I
sort of hoping for a little bit more.
Yeah,
cheerleading, like, you know, let's put our differences aside to congratulate
podcast of the last 3 years award or something
like
that.
Yeah, no, but that was,
I mean, whatever. You take what you can get.
Exactly.
Getting any award from those guys is cool. And we do have to have Matt on the show at some
point.
We do
have to have Matt on the show.
There are a bunch of people we still need to get on the show. I was on Tom Cater's podcast a couple weeks ago, and he's editing it still. He's moving, so I totally understand.
Where's he? Are they moving?
They're moving back to Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah, I was on his show. We need to get him on this show. We need to get Matt on the show. We need to get Grant
Laura
Morrison.
Laura Hudson needs to come on the show too.
Oh yeah, she was supposed to, and then she got something that I was going to say. She got something, and then I realized that if I had said what she got, it would have been bad.
What?
I don't remember exactly what it went.
It was she was just sick.
No, I know she was just sick. I was going to say she had hysteria or something like that.
Oh.
Something that was a made up thing that women had that was just an excuse for their doctors to finger bang them.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia, which is never wrong.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, you missed that. You missed that show.
Hysteria. Okay.
It wasn't hysteria. It was I forget what it was. There's some disease that only women get that isn't real. Because they haven't gotten it since, like, we've known about medicine and stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
Anyway, the point is, I have only vague memories of what has gone on in the past of this show. Which is why the newly crowned Awesomed by Comics Teen Patrol, and I don't care if you're not teens, everyone who took part in this is a member of the Awesomed by Comics Teen Patrol. T-E-E-N.
Right.
Patrol. P-A-T.
Even though I'm sure they're all different ages.
Of course.
But
you are all members of the Awesomed by Comics Teen Patrol, headed up by none other than our very own Rick Jones.
That's right.
Mr. Zaya.
What
is Grace, thank you. Who organized this effort to catalog all of the winners, losers,
and whatnots.
From our past 150 episodes.
That's right.
And we have some highlights from said culling. Is culling the right word? No.
No. What's tallying?
Tallying.
Yes.
There we go.
I think we're going to get some even more specific.
We might get some more
in the week.
But that's, and you know, that's fine. The Teen Patrol came through as far as I'm concerned. They came through. They were like when the teens like solve the mystery.
Yeah.
Like, they need a van and a dog.
Yeah.
Is what they need.
They do need a van.
But everyone who contributed to this effort, thank you so much. Sincerely. Seriously, thank you. This was...
Beau is on his back about to chew your cord.
Cat.
Anyway, yes, thank you guys so much for cataloging. We have a big, like, spreadsheet of everyone who won. So right now we've just got highlights.
Let's go through some highlights.
Okay.
Of the last 150 episodes. I keep saying 3 years, but it's been 3 years and 2 months. So let's go through some highlights of the past 150 episodes of the Awesome by Comics.
Ah!
Let's do it.
Podcast. Kitten is in a playful mood tonight. And Chris is right, by the way, when we went on his show. Unless he said it just now. I don't actually remember when he said it. That we should have made a list at all the times we've interrupted our own show.
With our cats?
With our cats. It was on his show that he said that.
Yes.
Anyway, we do that a lot.
We do. And we apologize, but they really like it when we're doing the show.
I know. They love it. Well, two of them love it.
They come in here and they just...
hang out.
They hang out and then they fuck around. And sometimes it disturbs our...
Sometimes it scratches the hell out of my foot.
And it disturbs our flow. Anyway.
We don't have much flow.
Well, anyway. So, what are some highlights?
All right. So, some highlights. Are you ready for some highlights?
I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Here's the Teen Patrol. We have the Teen Patrol.
Yes.
RJ Washington. Thank you, RJ. Member of the Teen Patrol. Ryan Emmett. Thank you, Ryan. Member of the Teen Patrol. Alberto De Jesus. Thank you, Alberto. Member of the Teen Patrol. And Alberto's been a longtime supporter of this show. And
he has.
War Rocket Ajax. And I think he was on War Rocket Ajax once,
perhaps.
If I'm remembering correctly. Jennifer Rubinowitz, who kicked my ass at Yu-Gi-Oh! On the show. She's another one we have to get on the show.
Yes.
Laura Abe. Thank you, Laura. Member of the Teen Patrol. Jennifer, I think, might actually be a teen, if I'm remembering.
Possibly.
Because didn't she say she was going to come to the show that I did with Huge?
Oh, but she
wasn't 21. 21. Right. So she might
not be a teen, but she might be 20.
Anyway. Dan Fuller, Power Listener Dan, who is in My Fantasy League. And
that's right.
And I think we have an email from him coming up.
We do.
In the email segment.
Yep.
Member of the Teen Patrol. David Watts. Thank you, David, member of the Teen Patrol. Greg Diener. Thank you, Greg. We've gotten stuff from him in the past, too, I believe. Emails. That name sounds familiar.
Yes, we have. We have indeed.
Thank you, Greg, member of the Teen Patrol. And, of course, Zaya, leader of the Teen Patrol.
That's right.
Our Rick Jones, our Snapper Carr.
You will all be getting
Jimmy Olsen.
Sashes in the mail.
No. Decoder rings.
ABC Teen Patrol.
Decoder rings that go ZZZ.
They go ZZZ.
ZZZ.
What does that mean?
That's what Jimmy Olsen's ring does.
Oh, okay.
When Superman calls. It won't actually do any... You know what? Here's what we're going to... The Teen Patrol all gets the Android app for your Android phones, if you have Android phones.
But anybody can get the
app. Shh. Teen Patrol. We've made a special Teen Patrol downloadable Android application for you, the Teen Patrol. Now, to hide the fact that we have a Teen Patrol... we have disguised it to look exactly like the Android app that everyone else sees. But it's not. It's especially for you, the Teen Patrol. So when
it sounds like you're saying Team Patrol.
I know it does.
Make sure everybody knows that it's Teen Patrol.
Teen Patrol. I think I've specified several times. I spelled it out a few minutes ago.
That's true, you did.
Teen Patrol.
That's right.
I used to be able to do this. Teen Patrol.
There you go.
Teen Patrol.
All right, so let's say what some of the highlights are.
What some of the highlights are?
We don't really have them ranked right now.
No.
So, and I don't think any of this is going to be that shocking to any of you, but...
no.
But it's kind of cool to see it all in one place.
It is. So here are the writers we liked most. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Gail Simone. No surprise there. Terry Moore. No surprise there. Paul Tobin, no surprise there. Jeff Parker, no surprise there. Greg Pak, no surprise there. Fred Van Lente, no surprise there. Dan Abnett and Annie Lanning, no surprise there. Warren Ellis, no surprise there. Matt Fraction, little bit of a surprise there.
Yeah. I mean, he always, like, just falls just under, like, he's always really good, but it's always, like, just... slightly under what the top prize is for whatever, but
I'm guessing this is for Iron Man.
Probably for Iron Man.
Or some of his X-Men stuff.
Yeah.
Or were we doing the show when The Order was coming out?
We were. We really liked The Order.
We loved The Order. Yeah. So this might be from that as well.
Yeah.
Jonathan Hickman.
No.
Not much of a surprise, I guess. Joe Kelly. No surprise
he
there.
He hasn't done a lot in a while.
He hasn't done a lot in a while, but when he does, we like it.
Yeah.
And Brian Bendis for Ultimate Spider-Man, mostly.
Pretty much
exclusively.
Exclusively.
Well, no, we've liked some. I mean, we loved his Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, but that was like one issue.
Yeah, I know, but he has those. We've loved his Moon Knight.
True.
We liked, what's the one with the stabby girl?
Scarlet Girl. Oh, yeah, but then we stopped.
But then we stopped reading it.
Mostly Ultimate Spider-Man.
So here's the artists we liked. Are you ready?
Yep.
Daniel Acuna. No surprise. Well, maybe a little bit of a surprise. That was a lot for his Eternals work.
Yeah.
But he's been doing really, really good stuff on, I think he's on one of the X-Men books.
Yeah, I forget.
I can't remember which one. Raphael Albuquerque. Blue Beetle.
Yep.
And The Question.
Oh, did he do the...
He drew the Question backups when...
right.
In Batwoman. David LaFuente, of course, the Hellcat.
I think that was
miniseries.
Yep.
And Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
Terry Moore again. Mm-hmm. Amanda Connor for Power Girl. Power Girl, Squirrel Girl. Terry and Rachel Dodson for their X-Men work.
I'm not completely sure.
Jay Calafiore for Secret Six. Tony Harris from Ex Machina.
That's right.
Nice to see him in there. J.M. Ken Nimura, the
I Kill Giants.
Fantastic artist of I Kill Giants, and some of the some Spider-Man stuff. He did some backup stuff in Joe Kelly's stuff. Juan Jose Reap, of course, from various Warren Ellis penned Avatar titles,
right.
and most recently of Wolverine the Best There Is.
Oh, right.
And Mark Buckingham. Nice to see him show up there.
That's right.
From Fables.
Indeed. I'm kind of surprised, like, Emma Rios isn't... But I guess she hasn't done
hasn't done that much.
Yeah, because this is kind of based on number of appearances.
Right.
So...
Not quality of appearances.
Right.
I will expect to see a lot more of Mark Waid in the next year.
Yeah. For sure.
A lot more of Paulo Rivera for their Daredevil book that they're doing together. I'm actually kind of surprised Mark Waid isn't on there, because I've been... Although... It's only been recently that I've been reading his Boom stuff as well. So, anyway, some common craps. You ready for some common craps?
Ready.
Brian Bendis for being too verbose.
I wouldn't say that that is exactly what the problem is.
No, it's not exactly what the problem is. It's for being
I would say
too
it's
Bendis-y.
For telling instead of showing anything.
Yes.
I guess that could also be described as being too verbose, but... not really too verbose as much as too reliant on words and not on actual storytelling.
Right.
Yes.
Grant Morrison
for
being Grant Morrison. Although I've liked Grant Morrison when he has been able to tone down the Grant Morrison.
Yes, for sure.
Greg Land, which is disappointing. I'm sad he's in the crab section. I'm not surprised at all,
right.
But I'm sad because he's also a frequent contributor to this show.
That's true, but
it always makes me sad.
He's not a contributor. He just
true.
We just
listen into his show.
We play his podcast.
Right. I don't know if he knows we play his podcast.
I don't know if he knows he does a podcast.
You're probably right. Our neighbors, we've made our neighbors crap a lot in the past.
For
apparently,
being noisy and annoying, and
yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
No, except that this morning I
know.
At the beginning of the show, we were just talking about how they've been blowing pot and cigarette smoke into our house.
Yeah, that sucks. We're frequently crap.
We're doing stuff
not supposed to do. And DC Editorial.
Wide variety of
crimes. For doing all the stuff it has done. Some common series that that we loved. Echo. We loved Echo. Secret Six. Loved Secret Six. Incredible Hercules. Loved that series. Sweet Tooth. Loved that series. Currently, this was a crazy week. But Sweet Tooth had another good showing this week, and I don't think I'm going to talk about it. Are you?
No, I don't think I am.
Okay, well, Sweet Tooth.
There was just too much else.
We're going to talk about Jeff Lemire, but not Sweet Tooth. Unwritten. Another fantastic series, naturally. Catwoman. I don't remember... It was a long time ago. Maybe Catwoman and Gotham City Sirens combined. Batgirl. I loved Batgirl. Although one of the Teen Patrol said that we didn't like it at the beginning. But I think that was you that didn't like it at the beginning. I liked it.
Right. I didn't like it at the beginning.
Thunderbolts, of course. Superman, Batman, which I think we're the only critics in all of comicdom who love Superman, Batman.
True, but, you know.
Or loved Superman, Batman.
Or at least existed. Certain story arcs of it.
Yep. Trinity.
I think I really liked Trinity.
I think you did too. And I
kind of stopped reading it.
I did stop reading it. And
I enjoyed it.
I didn't remember liking this I didn't remember us liking this as much as we apparently did.
Yeah.
But we apparently really liked it.
I liked Trinity, I guess.
Ultimate Spider-Man, of course.
Actually?
Ex Machina, of course. Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy, of course. And I Kill Giants, of course. How fun to look back.
That is fun.
And when the Teen Patrol, I think we've got some of the raw data, but when we get all the raw data,
yeah.
we'll pop it into the the press your luck computer.
Maybe we can give some lifetime achievement awards.
Maybe we can. The no whammies, no whammies. Stop.
Or 103 year
achievement award.
I was going to say 150 episodes, and then I changed it to 3 year.
Oh. Well, I see what you did. You
anyway.
Changed it. Anyway, it has been a hell of a 150 year.
150
year,
yeah.
That's we're really old.
150 years.
We've been doing this since
totally.
Before there were microphones.
So, I'm going to go on to some...
Let's go on.
All right, so obviously visit our blog, awesometobuycomics.com. Send an email to awesometobuycomics@gmail.com. Please leave an iTunes review if you enjoy the show. That would be really nice. So I have a couple of emails as sort of listener appreciation in a way.
Yeah.
But so when we originally were talking about that we were going to do our 150th episode, we asked for suggestions for themes for the 150th episode.
Yes.
And one of them that we came up with was that people could let us know what we had to apologize to them for, much like Stephen Colbert's
similar to
thing
Stephen
that he
Colbert's...
does.
Oops, Jew.
Opposite. Yeah,
whatever
Oops, Jew.
That
yeah,
is.
100 Oops, Jew. No, he actually has Jews call in and apologize to him.
Right.
This was, we said, if there's anything we need to apologize to you for, please
right.
let us
and
know.
I think Chris Sims just gave us a little bit of that.
Yes, he did. And so also, but we did get one from James in D.C.
Oh.
And he says, Evie and Aaron, you suggested among many options for episode 150 that listeners could contact you to demand apologies for various transgressions. Offer accepted. Here is how you have wronged me.
Oh, no.
Last October, I got married. Hooray.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. My wife is perfectly respectful of my comic books and will occasionally allow me to explain to her things that she can't possibly care about, like the DC relaunch or why Amim Zola first showed up in
Arnim.
Oh,
I
Arnim.
Think.
I'm not reading it correctly. Sorry, I'm not that old school with Captain America. Arnim Zola, yes, I do know that that's how you say it. First showed up in the Captain America movie with his face being displayed on a little TV monitor. I generally haven't entertained any hopes of getting her interested in comics. I gave her I Kill Giants to read, tried to get her to read an issue of Demo I thought she'd think was cute, but that's about it. But on our honeymoon, we were due for a long drive across the big island of Hawaii, and I started thinking that maybe a podcast featuring a husband and wife team talking about the week's events in comics could pique her interest, particularly one that features the familiar dynamic of a husband who amuses himself with terrible jokes that his wife patiently tolerates.
Now, hold on.
I'm not sure how patiently I tolerate it.
Hold on. Wait, terrible jokes? Terribly brilliant? Maybe.
Yeah. I imagine...
Go on.
I imagined her getting invested in whether Bendis was too talky or interested in what was going on with the unwritten, and then blammo, she's hooked. So as we're driving back from some volcano tour or something, I asked if she'd mind if I put on Awesome by Comics, cautiously suggesting that she might enjoy it even though she doesn't follow comics. I put on what was the latest episode, the New York Comic Con episode, and it turned out to be just about the worst possible episode for someone who is not familiar with comics or your show. No offense, it was a perfectly fine episode, just not well suited to my particular purpose. The episode was basically 50% talking about Pokemon cosplay and 50% talking about how hilarious you both thought Chris Sims had been that weekend.
Oh, no.
Sounds like this Chris Sims guy is pretty funny, my wife said. Maybe he should have a podcast.
I think he does. And we're on it this week.
That's right. But I was pretty sure that wasn't a request to listen to War Rocket Ajax. Thus, on the occasion of your 150th episode, I demand an apology for being the faulty link in my otherwise airtight plan to trick my wife into becoming interested in comics. In return, I offer my hearty thanks for at least a year and a half or so of providing me with amusing comic book fun every week. Thanks, James.
We're so sorry. However, I've hatched a new plan.
Oh, you have?
In the last 30 seconds. Are you ready?
Yes.
James, bookmark. Don't bookmark because you can't bookmark. But note right now what time it is right now in this episode. And the clock on the thing is not accurate because we're going to do some editing.
Right.
But note what time it is right now. And on your anniversary, you can play this. Happy anniversary, James and James's wife.
Whose name is not included.
Whose name is not included, probably with good reason. Thank you for listening to this show. And we congratulate you on...
A year. It'll be a year on their anniversary.
It will be 1 year on your anniversary of happy marriage. It is our... How long have we been married? We've been married since 08?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. So we are...
We've been married pretty much as long... We started this about a month after we got married.
We did. So we've been doing the show about as long as we've been married.
That's right.
So we, as a fellow, not entirely newlywed, but relatively newlywed couple, congratulate you on your 1 year anniversary.
That's right.
And we'd like to point out to you, James's wife, how great the footwear is in comic books.
What the fuck?
Women like shoes.
No, sweetie. That's
Stay
not...
with me. Stay
no,
with
no,
me.
No.
Stay with me.
No.
They have the most awesome shoes in comic
they
books.
They don't. They have stupid shoes.
No. You're ruining it. There's shoes, and then there's boots, and then there's sometimes sandals, and then...
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get his wife to read comics. Women love shoes. And then there's shopping. They go shopping a lot.
No, they don't really go shopping all that
Evie,
much.
Evie. And then they drink coffee. They drink caffeinated beverages. And they eat salads and yogurt all the time in comics. I mean, I don't really know what women like. I'm going based on what TV commercials tell me.
Right, right.
So they clean the kitchen all the time, and it is great.
They also, all the women in comics get really mad when their husbands drink beer.
Oh my God. Men. Right? Right, comics ladies? Men, huh? So that's all great stuff that comes from comics, James's wife. So seriously, read comics because they're right there with you, ladies. Right there. They're like, comics are like a good friend. They're like the Suzanne to your Carrie. Is Suzanne one of the Sex and the City girls?
No.
What are their names? I know Carrie. Carrie's the only
Carrie,
one I know.
Miranda.
Miranda. They're like, comics are like the Miranda to your Carrie, ladies.
Wow, that's going to be really effective. So I'm going to move on to the next email, which is another...
In all seriousness, no. Fables. Go with Fables. James. James's wife, you can stop listening. James, give her Fables.
Yeah, Fables is good. Runaways. I mean, those are two no-brainers, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, on another husband-wife theme... Dan, our power listener
and member of the Teen Patrol.
That's right. Power listener and member of the Teen Patrol, Dan.
Teen
has
Patrol.
Let us know that his wife just released her first novel.
Oh.
Last week.
I knew this actually, cause I follow her on Twitter.
It's called, you follow his wife on Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter suggested her cause I tweet with him a lot.
Oh, okay. Cool. It's called The Princess Curse. And it is available, on Kindle as well as in regular book form.
Regular.
And so because it's her first novel,
is it available wherever finer books are sold?
I would hope so.
All right.
First novels are pretty important to the long-term viability
Absolutely.
Of a career. So, we're trying to help him spread the word.
Yes. The Princess Curse.
It is a retelling of the fairy tale, 12 Dancing Princesses. The heroine is a young girl, an apprentice to an herbalist in a medieval feudalist Europe. She's strong-willed, has aspirations to be an herbalist. Not easy for a woman, I guess, in those times. I'm not sure. But I'm going to take his word for it.
Am I right, ladies?
And ends up risking herself to save the titular princesses from a curse.
Now, I will say, as a man, there is nothing I love more than titular princesses.
Of course, her father and various adults forbid her from mucking around, but she wants the reward for breaking the curse that would allow her to buy her dream job at a nunnery convent or some other place that isn't working directly for a lord.
Mm.
Interesting. So it has a target audience of like middle grade, age 10 to 14. But, you know, that kind of story usually appeals to lots and
everybody,
lots of people.
All ages. Ages 9 to 99.
So it's gotten some good reviews from Kirkus and some school library organizations.
Excellent.
So we want to spread the word about it. If you're looking for a new YA fantasy novel, I don't know how fantasy, well, it's fairy tale, so...
Fairy tales of fantasy.
Fairly fantastic.
Sounds like if there's curses and if there's like dragons. True. I don't know if there's dragons. Did he mention dragons?
Oh, no, but curses. Yes, you're right.
Curses. Curses mean fantasy.
And titular princesses.
I'm going to assume, I mean, those are certainly fantasy for many people.
Yes.
I'm going to assume there's dragons.
There might be. We'll find out.
Whether there is or isn't, I'm going to say there is.
So.
Because it's not my book. But go get it.
So, The Princess Curse. You're looking for a good new YA novel?
Let's give this book the non-existent Awesomed by Comics bump.
That's right.
If there is actually such thing as an Awesomed by Comics bump, which I don't think there is.
I don't know. There might have been one for Mysterious.
There was like, yes.
We maybe got like six people to buy Mysterious who wouldn't have before.
So, six of you. Six of you, which is a pretty damn low percentage.
Right, but... It's,
but six of you need to buy this book.
That's right. At least.
I'll get it. So five. Five of you need to get this book.
No, how about another six in addition
12?
To 12? Let's see. How many? There's 12 princesses.
There's 12 princesses.
So
if this is a fantasy novel, two princesses per person.
Okay.
We're sticking with the classic titular fantasies here.
All right. Don't go there, sweetie.
I didn't go there. You went there.
I did not.
Ladies, am I right?
So.
But yes, six of you or half dozen in the other. Go get this.
That's right. So, thank you, Dan, for alerting us to that, and good luck with it.
Yes.
And we should move.
We don't have any more emails?
Nope.
Okay.
That's all I'm doing.
Okay.
So we should go on to this week's actual awards.
That's a great idea, because that's what we're here for.
That's right. A disclaimer, I would say, at least for myself, maybe not for you, but we bought so many damn books this week.
Yeah.
That once it was time to make my awards list, and I like looked at the 5,000 books that I had to like pick from, it was really hard to get my head around. So in some cases, there might be something that would have been a better choice, at least would even from my perspective have been a better choice, but I just couldn't remember it for some reason. So I'll do my best with these awards. But hopefully between the two of us, we'll capture. What are you looking at so funny on your screen?
I am giving awards to 9 books.
Okay, I'm not sure how many I'm doing.
We bought like, I think 25.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm also giving a book awards to 9.
All
books.
Right, I'm gonna bet they're the same 9.
Maybe, maybe not.
Because there were some real standouts.
Yes, I'm sure that some of them overlap.
Yes.
Sure.
Anyway, why don't we do the show?
Let's do it. Cover of the week.
Cover of the week.
What was your cover of the week?
X-23 number 14 by Phil Noto. This is a retelling of the Thing Laura standoff in which he is very much towering over her.
A retelling?
A re-showing, a reimagining.
Oh, the cover is
the cover is the cover
the
is a scene
that is in the book. Yes.
There's a scene within the book which is retold.
Yes.
On the cover or pre-told.
That's right.
Foreshadowed.
Yes.
On the cover,
but
which
in a
is
very exaggerated,
in a very exaggerated
kind of funny way.
And the background on this book is green, which is almost never used as a solid color block.
True.
And it looked really nice, especially with the Thing's white jumpsuit and et cetera. Yes. And the Laura and he.
Laura.
Yes. And she's little. And he's giant, and it was really nice, and very, very, whoa, look at that. This book is different than the rest, and it was.
My cover of the week is from Moon Knight number 5, cover by Alex Maleev. It is very cool. It almost looks, I mean, I guess it's painted. It kind of looks like...
Might be painted, might be digital.
Might be painted. Well, I mean, okay, let me put it this way. What it's supposed to look like...
Yes.
...is sort of... It almost strikes me as
stained,
like...
stained glassy.
Kind of, but almost like, remember those oil pastel, those like little crayons that were like really oily that you use when you were a kid? They're like crayons, but they're really wet.
No.
Sort of. Anyway, that's what it kind of
I do remember as. Color forms.
That's not what I'm talking about at all.
And I also remember those beads that you used to put in the butterfly and then you'd bake it in the oven.
That's not what I'm talking about at all.
It kind of looks like that though.
But anyway, it's incredibly cool. It's half Spider-Man's face, half Wolverine's face with Captain America's shield in Spider-Man's eye. Basically, because the thing is that Moon Knight is like has these kind of split personalities of the other heroes who are telling him what to do and often arguing inside his brain, telling him what to do with these different identities that he has, channeling Wolverine, Spider-Man, and Captain America.
This is another really good issue of this.
Yeah, it was.
A couple good weeks for Moon Knight last week. We didn't do a show last week, but the Jamie McKelvey, Warren Ellis Secret Avengers had another really good Moon Knight appearance.
But anyway, this is a very cool looking cover. It doesn't look like your typical superhero cover at all, and I really thought it was great.
Great.
It's pretty gorgeous. Okay. Panel of the week.
Panel of the week.
All right, so panel of the week. I'm sure there were like a million really great panels because I read like 30 books or something like that. But after it was all said and done, the only one that could really stand out in my head as something that made me literally laugh out loud was, and I'm not saying this is panel of the week for good reasons as much as it just made me laugh out loud, is the first panel of Hawk and Dove number 1, which was drawn by Rob Liefeld for some fucking whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
And
do you know why?
Because the 90s?
Yeah, that's why.
So anyway, the first panel of Hawk and Dove, drawn by Rob Liefeld, is a completely out of proportion image of the Washington Monument. So first of all, it's just like super, super tall Washington Monument.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought that was really funny for Rob Liefeld.
That is really funny.
Because it's kind of like, you know, it's probably how he thinks of himself too.
As a giant dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just made me laugh out loud. I was like, of course this is the first panel in this Rob Liefeld book.
Were
there
feet?
It's a completely out of proportion Washington Monument.
Were there feet?
No, there were no feet. Although I guess it doesn't.
That's how he gets you. Feet.
But, so that was pretty hilarious to
me.
I realized that with all the books, I should give it to something that, you know, was a real standout thing, but I couldn't remember anything, and that was just
I've got two.
Okay,
I've got a tie.
So what are yours?
My were, the first appearance of Golden Age Moonstone at the end of Thunderbolts 163.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that.
That was just like, hell yeah.
That was pretty funny.
The Thunderbolts, for those who are reading Thunderbolts, the rogue Thunderbolts who escaped from the Fear Itself goings on somehow ended up in World War II.
Yeah, because they thought they were displacing themselves in space, but they ended up displacing themselves in space and in time. So they end up in Germany in World War II.
So they're in Germany in World War II, and they're, you know, here's the base, and it's suddenly getting attacked. And then Captain America and Namor show up, and Moonstone is all over this. So she fashions herself a Golden Age Moonstone little skirt outfit.
So we think she did it on purpose, right?
I don't know.
It kind of seems like...
Although I don't know how she would have controlled that.
Well, I mean, somehow she... Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, she can change her outfit at will.
Yeah.
So how she got the haircut, I don't know.
Right.
But
I'm pretty sure, as opposed to it being because they switched in time and they just like changed, I think she realizes what's going on, that they have been displaced into World War II with Captain America and the Submariner.
Like, oh, hell yeah.
And they're like, she's like, we can reinvent ourselves as this like
the American
World
Thunderbolts,
War II,
they say.
American Thunderbolts super team.
I am so looking forward to
she
this.
She kind of looks like, has like a little skirt and she sort of looks like a white suited Lady Black Hawk or something like that.
It's really, really well done and perfect for Moonstone.
It's very cute.
My other is the first shot of Animal Man flying in his costume from Animal Man number 1 by Jeff Lemire and Travel Foreman. The joy on Animal Man's face when he's flying out of his San Diego suburban home is just so beautiful. And maybe the only moment of pure joy to be found in any of these fucking books this week.
Yeah, you could say that, maybe.
I mean, there were some that were good, but they didn't have that pure, absolute fun that Animal Man... None of the characters were having that much fun.
Right.
Superman kind of was. You could tell he was enjoying what he was doing.
Yeah.
But Animal Man was loving what he was doing. And there he was. And that was such a great scene. And I really loved that book.
Yeah, it was
And great. I miss Animal Man. And I'm really glad he's back.
Me too. All right, Hero of the Week.
Hero of the Week.
Who was your Hero of the Week?
I have another tie. Giselle and Genevieve.
Oh, yeah.
From Mystic number 2 by G. Willow Wilson and the fantastic David Lopez.
This book is so good.
This book is really, really, really good.
I gotta say.
We missed the first one when it came out.
But then we read it.
A lot of people recommended it to us, so we read it and we read this one. This book is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I really like, you know, G. Willow Wilson's other stuff has been very kind of oblique and like it's very thinky and sort of vague.
Well, no, her Air certainly was, but her Vixen miniseries wasn't.
Yeah, but even the Vixen miniseries was, yeah, you're right, but it was a little bit like...
It was a little... I mean, it wasn't as straightforward as this.
Right, but this is very straightforward.
This is an all-ages book.
And
it's not, but it is.
Right, but it's also, you know, nuanced, and it's great.
Yes.
Really good. Highly recommend.
And I love the situations that...
these two girls are
Giselle
in.
And Genevieve have gotten themselves in. This is only a 4-issue mini.
That's too bad.
I would recommend picking this up.
It's only 4 issues?
Yeah.
It's weird that it's already been 2 issues. I don't see it wrapping up in 2
I don't know
issues.
What they're going to do with the cross-gen after these minis.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know how it's going to continue,
anyway,
et cetera.
It's really good.
In the original cross-gen universe, all of the series tied in with each other. And actually, they used to do a really clever thing where they would put out a trade like every month or every 2 months, which had one or two chapters of each cross-gen book.
Interesting.
It was really, really cleverly done, and I liked reading them back when this was actually coming out. I only actually enjoyed a couple of the series. I liked Sigil, and I liked the mystery Sherlock Holmesy one, which I cannot remember what the hell that's called now. I'm completely blanking. Anyway, but yes, I love these two characters, and I'm really glad that Genevieve got in with the resistance,
the revolutionaries. Yeah, the basic premise of this book, if you're not reading it, is that there's this city called Hyperion that is basically run on ether, not like, you know, the kind that you drink, but like in the ether, like it's some kind of like...
It's basically the same thing from the His Dark Materials book. It's the same thing from the Warren Ellis books.
Yeah.
It's
like the thing that runs everything. Yeah.
Right.
The only way it can be controlled is through kind of alchemical magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people who are allowed to practice this are the noble people. But these two girls who are orphans and do the laundry in the orphanage that they grew up in because they're paying off their
debt. Don't spoil
debt. What?
Something awesome happens to these
Something
two
awesome
girls.
Happens to these two girls.
And it's kind of predictable once you start reading it and you're like, well, I know I kind of know what's going to happen.
It's a great class warfare kind of book. But in a fantastical land.
Yeah, it's a really great story and highly recommended. My second Hero of the Week is Superman from Action Comics number 1. Excellent. I really like this take on Superman.
I know, I love this take on Superman. It's, I mean, I love that, I can relate, not relate, but I feel like this is a more sort of,
I understand
realistic,
this
quote unquote, version of Superman in that he's really like the populist, you know, I'm not going to take this shit from, you know, I'm going to use my power to help the little people kind of thing, which he does in as regular Superman, but he's angry in this, like,
right,
at the abuses.
And in regular Superman, that's always kind of underlying it, but it's more about fighting monsters,
right,
and
or it's
aliens
about being like, you know, the best, most honest,
right,
and truthful. And this Superman, like, breaks a dude's ribs and,
yeah,
like, you know, threatens to drop him, you know, and wouldn't actually do it, but wouldn't actually kill anybody, but is, you know, kind of a little bit more Batman-y.
Yeah.
And
but for the working man.
Right, but for the working man and for people who can't really fight for themselves, and he's kind of a punk, and mm-hmm, I'm down with punk,
yes,
Superman a lot.
I like this
especially
Superman.
Since it's like so, you know, it's like the total opposite of, I mean, I was kind of afraid when he was going to be the t-shirt jeans wearing Superman, he was going to be like Clark Kent in Smallville, and he's not at
no
all. Clark Kent in Smallville is a wet noodle, and this guy is not a wet noodle at all.
No, this guy is the opposite of a wet noodle.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'm this is the first time I've actually cared about what Superman is doing,
yeah,
in a long time.
Right. And I mean, you know, and it is a personal preference thing. Like, I'm sure,
oh,
there
absolutely,
are people who are like, I like Superman being just like the ideal.
Right.
The ideal. And
if you're, say, that dude in North Carolina who's boycotting Superman now.
Well, but no, I'm saying even people who,
or the Koch brothers, probably don't dig this Superman.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm not being that guy. I'm
okay.
saying there are people whose opinions I would just respect about a lot of different things who
okay.
probably really like the more, you know, kind of common super. I don't want to say traditional, because I'm pretty sure maybe the original Superman is even more traditional.
Yeah.
What I mean is the
what
sort of
we've come
Superman
to expect
late,
from Superman.
Yes, exactly. Who's kind
the
of
Christopher
like,
Reeve
he's
Superman.
Stoic, and you know, he's
yeah.
just doing the right thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people who that is, you know, the Superman that they appreciate the most, but I like punk Superman.
Yep.
And the jeans thing is dumb, but you know, it fits. It works with this.
Yep.
So I don't really know why there are giant knee patches, but you know, what are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I really like this Superman.
Superman is like never my hero of the week.
I know. I know. Me too.
All right. Villain of the week.
Villain of the week.
So, I am, for the first time, I realize that we never talk about the boys on this show.
You're right.
And the reason we never talk about the
well,
boys.
Well, no, I talk about the boys.
You've talked about the boys.
Pretty frequently.
Yeah. But we both don't talk about the boys
You're
on this
right.
show. And the reason is that I have never been caught up with the boys.
Until?
The only thing that we talked about in real time, we both talked about in real time, was Herogasm.
Uh-huh.
And I read that before I read any of the boys.
Right.
And then I went back. And
so did I, actually.
And it has taken me like a year or so, a little over a year even, to actually get caught up with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But now, issue 59, I read it the week it came out for the first time ever.
58. I think.
I guess it is. I guess this one was 58. You're right. So now I'm going to read it every time it comes out, and I can talk about it with a weekly award, which I'm very glad about. Anyway,
excellent.
So
your villain is
my villain is the Homelander.
Ooh.
Who is just the biggest dick on the planet?
He is.
And there's, I mean, if you're not reading it or you're not caught up or whatever, like, it's way too complicated to
yes.
explain. But basically, the Homelander, basically, the Huey, who's one of the boys and the kind of the main character of this series, is going through some transcripts that have been kept over the years of them spying on
The Seven.
Who
are the
actually no? It's
of the
it's
Justice
the
League.
It's this like kind of brothel thing that they go to that the
oh right
the,
right right
that the superheroes go
well,
to.
Well, they also spy on the Seven,
right? So lots of people are spying on the Seven. He's reading a transcript where the Homelander does something just totally fucking shitty to Queen Maeve, who's like the Wonder Woman character, but she's like a drunk and
right.
whatever.
The Homelander is the Superman character.
Yeah, the Homelander is a Superman character, and he's a incredibly disturbed person. And as, you know, frankly, Superman would be.
Yeah.
Which is why I love this book so much.
Yes.
And he just does like the worst thing. And she asks him like, why does he do it? And he like basically gives her an explanation that basically says, because I'm like the worst person.
For a laugh.
Yeah. For a laugh to like just completely.
Basically, he tricked her into having sex with Batman. right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, the Batman character.
Right, who's like a total moron and, right. you know, brain dead like, practically.
Yes.
And you know, she's like, why did you do that? And he says, well, basically, you know, because he had done some other horrible thing to her, like some years earlier. And he was like, basically, I figured, you know, you finally thought that I was feeling remorseful and that I was coming around to like not wanting to do something terrible to you anymore. And then like, I just decided to do something terrible to you mm-hmm. out of nowhere. And, you know, it seemed like pretty funny. And you're just like, oh my God, this guy is the fucking worst.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
And Huey is reading it.
Which
and
is
also,
why this book works, because the heroes aren't that good.
Right.
But the villains have to be worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I was talking this weekend about how this is, like, seriously my favorite comic book of all time. And I can understand if it's not everyone's favorite comic mm-hmm. book, but I just think it's great.
Okay.
So, who's your villain of the week?
I'm going once again with the Red Skull.
All right. Oh, I still need to read that, actually.
The Red Skull Incarnate number 3 by Greg Pak and Mirko Solak. Cholak? I don't know how to pronounce that. C-O-L-A-K. It's probably Cholak. Once again, Greg Pak is tackling the near impossible task of getting you to root for a villain who has never been portrayed as anything but a villain, and whose story you know how it's going to end because he becomes basically one of the Marvel Universe's worst villains and a Nazi. And still, because this is, you know, because Greg Pak is humanizing him so successfully and showing the where he comes from, and the really frightening thing is that the conditions in which he was raised, you can see how somebody who's a little bit unhinged or even a lot unhinged, who ordinarily would just, you know, go about their life like a regular person and maybe drink a lot, maybe steal, maybe get into fights, can turn into one of the world's worst killers in these particular economic and social conditions, which were in Germany in the late 1920s. And it's a really, and there's a good history lesson at the end in terms of how the Nazis actually used those social conditions to rise to power. How Johann, who would become the Red Skull, ended up falling in with the Nazis when he originally wasn't one, and didn't side with them. It's just, it's so powerful to show how important an environment is to creating a whole human being. And it's just, it's as good as Magneto Testament was, this is better. Because it's...
Yeah, this is better than Magneto Testament. That this was pretty good, but...
It was good, but it was kind of one note throughout.
Yeah.
This is, you know, it hits that note, which is, a really important note to hit. But it also gets you on the level of, you know, Magneto is kind of a hero. Red Skull is not. Mm-hmm. And
still
you find yourself rooting for Magneto and you think, well, yeah, sometimes I do root for Magneto.
Right.
You never root for the Red Skull in comics. And now the reader ends up in a position where they're pulling for this kid to not give in, to not succumb to these social conditions, which are pushing him really hard in a bad direction, and you know that he's going to, and Greg Pak is so skillfully writing this that you are pulling for him anyway.
Awesome.
So yeah, this is a really, really well done series.
Cool. All right. Surprise of the week.
Surprise of the week.
What's your surprise?
Cosmic shit showing up in X-23.
Oh yeah,
I was reading this book, and I've only read it. I read the first couple, and then I dropped off. And then Phil Noto became the artist, and then I came back on, and I was reading good things about it. It's been getting good reviews. I read the last one. The Future Foundation showed up. I'm like, all right, I like this. Mm-hmm. This one, spoiler alert, if you're not reading this, the Richardses. Valeria and Reed figure out that what is tying Laura, X-23, Spider-Man, and the Invisible Woman together, why they're getting the same readings from all three of them, is residual energy from Captain fucking Universe, the Unipower, which is the most, you know, harebrained 80s cosmic goofball right. idea.
Well, and is it saying like Laura has been recently, is like currently sort of possessed by it, but they had been possessed
they
by it
had
in the
been
past.
Possessed by it in the past. I don't know if Laura currently is.
I think it's basically
Laura had been in the past too.
She well I think what
she's
what,
more recent than the other
yeah,
two
what,
though.
What Valeria saw was that she her reading was showing up.
Right.
But like theirs was kind of just residual from
right.
longer ago. Yeah.
All three of them have been Captain Universe at some point. And then at the end, Valeria adjusts the readings on her little thing and zaps them, and then it activates whatever those molecules are, and suddenly Spider-Man, Invisible Woman, and X-23 are on some alien planet in the middle of a giant uprising.
Right.
And we have no idea what the hell's going on, but suddenly they're in space, and that's awesome.
And like I mean, I've only read the last two issues of this, but, mm-hmm. you know, there was no indication anyone was going
no.
to be going to space.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
It really seemed like a thing that was going to be happening.
To X-23. But,
right.
you know, it's get you know, the X-Men used to go to space all the time.
Right.
The X-Men spent, like, years in space in the
80s. Right.
So I'm really looking forward to this.
Word.
And, yeah, word indeed, sweetie. Word indeed. Right. But really great art from Phil Noto and fantastic dialogue from Marjorie Liu and a great story idea, obviously, because mm-hmm. it is my surprise of the week.
So my surprise, I mean, there were lots of things and like I said, so many books, kind of hard to figure out. But my biggest surprise, honestly, is that I really liked Action Comics and I did not expect to because... you know, there's just all kinds of reasons that I did not think I would like Action Comics, number one. Number one is that I am just in general not a huge Superman fan. Number two, it was, you know, I thought it was going to be like Smallville Superman, young guy in t-shirt and jeans. Number three is that, you know, Grant Morrison hasn't really been doing it for me lately. So I thought it was just going to be some kind of...
Has Grant Morrison ever done it for
thing.
You?
Well, I like his, yes.
His self-contained stuff.
His self-contained yeah. stuff, his create. I don't know if it's creator-owned, but his creator-created stuff.
Yes.
I always really like. And I also did like a few of his story arcs on Batman, like a few years ago.
Okay.
Before, like, R.I.P.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
all
you
I
did.
Grab.
Okay.
And I liked, what else? I liked Seven Soldiers, which I read.
Mm, I didn't like that.
I like
maybe it's just me, the Grant Morrison. I like his creator own stuff. I like his creator stuff.
But you
liked
like his Animal Man and stuff
yes.
like that, right? And his X-Men. And I
was hot and cold on his X-Men.
Anyway, the stuff that he has done, I just thought that
this was kind of a perfect storm of stuff
no,
I don't care
about. I was just
going
to say, yeah. like, this was a perfect storm of things that I was not going to enjoy. And I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it a lot. So
the, you know, the dude. Hanging over the building, screaming, "Somebody save me!"
Right. But see,
I verbally went.
Here is the credit that I will give to Grant Morrison. If anybody else had been writing that, like if Geoff Johns had written that or mm-hmm. something, I would have rolled my eyes to the back of my head.
Yeah.
In the case of, and in case you're wondering, "Somebody Save Me" is the theme song to Smallville, and they've been like incorporating little bits of Smallville mm-hmm. into the new DCU, and it's terrible. But I will give Grant Morrison the benefit of the doubt that that was a wink nudge thing,
okay.
as opposed to that he was kind of actively
well, yeah.
making fun of
okay.
Smallville being incorporated, as opposed to if Geoff Johns had done it, where he would have been like, "Hey, let's
look at this thing that I did.
Let's put Smallville into Superman. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Face value." So I'm going to give Grant Morrison the tongue in cheek.
Okay.
Credit there.
But that's literally the only, you know, black mark on this book for me.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
This was really fun.
Yeah, so that was my surprise.
I can see.
Shocking.
I was equally so. Oh, I was looking forward to this. I wasn't expecting to like it, but
right.
I knew there was a chance.
Right.
And it turned out to be.
All right. Crap of the week. I think that there were a lot of the DC number ones that were not great.
Hang on, let me play the music.
Theme music, of course, to the new. That is how dark and edgy.
Excuse me.
The new 52 is in general. So there were some that, you know, I thought weren't great. Hawk and Dove wasn't great. What else? Some things I just couldn't even get through. Like, I started reading Men of War and I was like, what? I don't know what's going on. But I think it's pretty clear that...
I think next week I'm not going to get them all. I tried to get them all this week and then I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
But Detective Number One.
You want me to play the music again?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Pretty much the biggest pile of crap in a while.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And, you know, I know that apparently the commenters on Comics Alliance and such and on Matt Wilson's Tumblr have not appreciated people talking badly about Detective Number One. But I'm sorry, if you think this was a good comic book, then if you ever meet me in person, I wouldn't suggest mentioning that.
I don't remember how it went. No, that's more Hey
right.
Bulldog.
Yeah. You're going too minor.
No, the whole thing's minor.
I guess I just mean the jumps.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway, so Detective Number One. Okay, well, it started. I don't want to like talk about this forever because
we did talk about it forever.
Rocket Ajax. We talked about it.
Listen to
that. But I will say this. First of all, just the dialogue was just. It was supposed to be all serious and I posted this on Twitter and I said this on War Rocket Ajax, but my first thing that just made me like throw it on the ground was
you didn't when, actually.
Well, in my mind.
Okay.
Was when Batman whatever fucking situation he's in, which has already kind of escaped my mind.
There was a fire in the house and he was trying to save a little girl who was trapped under some shit.
And he's like, this fire is spreading like a book of matches. And that's not an actual simile. That doesn't work because books of matches don't spread.
No.
What he meant, of course, I guess, was this fire is spreading as if it started with one match in a book of matches and then is spreading to the other matches.
It should have been the beams in this house are like a book of matches.
Right. And it's the fire is spreading. But it just, you know.
Yeah.
Try again. Didn't work.
No.
Not actual functional figurative language.
His motives change with the wind.
Right.
And it's windy.
Right. It was just really, it was sad.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's just trying to be as gritty and violent as it possibly can. Because that's like for grown-ups or something.
I was actually going not minor enough.
I'm sure you all know by now. There you go.
Sorry.
The last page, which if I'm spoiling it for you, I'm so sorry.
No, you're not.
Is this dude called the doll maker?
Yeah.
He cuts the Joker's face off and hangs it on a wall.
Hey, sweetie.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are comics for kids anymore?
These are not your kids' comics anymore.
Okay.
Anyway.
Can I play the song again?
No.
Okay.
It was just, you know, graphic for the sake of being graphic and supposedly, quote unquote, mature, mm-hmm. but not because it's for 14-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a different crap of the week?
I do have a different crap of the week, and it is one that pains me to say.
All right.
I'm going to go with Batgirl.
I was actually going to say I was disappointed in Batgirl, and that in itself was, like, really crappy.
That's my crap.
I don't think
it's not
so
as bad.
No. It's not that it's so bad. It's that I really wanted it to be really good.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people are responding well to it. I personally did not think it was that good, and I don't think it wasn't what I was hoping would happen. It was
now. Here's what I know. From interviews I have read, DC was going to do this story, and they were going to do it this way, with or without Gail Simone.
Okay.
She wanted to be, this is pure speculation, she wanted to be at the reins.
Right, for this.
Knowing that they're going to do this to this character that she loves.
Right. So she wanted to be the one to do
it. And I would much rather, you know, this, as disappointing as this book was, it would have been far more disappointing had it been done by a lesser talent.
Right.
But this felt to me exactly like the Joe Quesada revisitation of One More Day that happened like 2 years into the fucking Brand New Day thing.
Right.
This was, we have this idea. We're making this change, this fundamental change that we know a lot of people are upset by. Rather than just make the change
and make it good,
and
good story,
move the fuck on and sell it with good stories,
right,
we're going to try to over-explain this.
Yeah.
We are going to, it's convoluted, it's unexplained, it's nonsensical.
I have to assume we will find out what happened where to get her.
We will, but by making her become, for lack of a better word, paralyzed at the sight of a gun aimed at her spine. And I don't know how you know when a gun is aimed at your spine as opposed to any other part of your body.
Well, it was aimed like at her abdomen,
right,
which is where she was shot, and it happened to hit
right
her spine.
But by that being, you know, now her weakness, it's really
over.
Yeah.
It's really
overdoing
it. And, the last scene is that she fails to save a guy who's being attacked by this other guy because the attacker aims a gun at her in the exact same way that the Joker shot
right
her, and she freaks out. And, you know, I guess that's supposed to kind of humanize, well, she's a human, but, you know, it's supposed to, like...
She doesn't need humanizing.
Like, I understand what the point of that was,
yes,
but it was
very
in your face, and it was not done subtly at all, and it was just like, you know, I feel like
the problem is they were trying to butter their bread on both sides.
Yeah.
They were like, we know people are upset about taking this, about giving Barbara her legs back.
Right.
So instead, we're going to differently disable her from the same incident. And that doesn't work.
Yeah, it didn't really.
Because not only are you taking away something that a lot of people really strongly identified with,
right,
but you're also not making it better.
Right.
You're also not you're not actually curing her. You're just giving her a different debilitating.
Right. Well, this one, at least, I can see in the course of a story arc her overcoming. I mean, probably she will.
I assume so, but this was not a good first issue.
The problem is that, you know, Gail Simone
is an incredible writer, but
she's an incredible writer when she has control and she's just letting her imagination go crazy. Secret Six is so much fun and so wacky, and you know, this was obviously, this is how this, you know, from DC editorial, this is how this story is going to change. Do it within these parameters. And, you know, she did the absolute best she could with it. And also, it wasn't really, besides her, you know, there's these few moments of her flying around as Batgirl and she's having a lot of fun because she can finally do this again, which is great. But other than that, it wasn't a particularly fun book. So it's like, I'm not saying it should have been fun.
It absolutely should have been fun.
Well, if you were going to, you know,
if you're going to keep the people who have been reading Batgirl for the last 2 years,
right,
it absolutely should have been fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think this was kind of a lose-lose situation in a lot of ways. Like,
it didn't have to be. If this book had had the feel of the recent Batgirl and just with Barbara.
Yeah, but that, I mean, here's the problem. That would have also pissed people off. Like, if they had just gone with it, if they had just gone for it and done it and just had it be Barbara and have it have the same feel, I think that also would have been, that would have been a problem too, because
it
people would be like, it's not Stephanie, it's not a teenage girl,
right,
it's a, you know, more grown up woman who has been through all this shit, and it would not make any sense for her to just suddenly be like having a blast and that's what it's all about.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't have wanted that either, but I feel like they should have gone in, just been like, this is what happened, you know.
Give you a page recap, like what they did with Animal Man.
Right, or just, you know, this is how she got better, or maybe even explore how she got better even more in a way that was going to be moving it forward. Like, it's really hard to say.
This missed.
It missed, and I can't say that I know exactly what I would have done differently.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, like, say, like, well, they should have done this and they should have done that, because honestly, this was, as soon as I read that this was happening, I was like, there is no possible way that there is a good way to do this.
Right.
And
I am of the firm belief that the only good way to do it is the way they eventually dealt with Spider-Man, which is to just move the fuck on.
Right.
Which is to just say, are you, you know what? Editorial mandate. They played the music. They're like, we got to have our books be done now. And this is what we're dealing with. Right. So I'm just going to make the best damn book I can with this.
Right.
And I don't feel like this was the best damn book she can do, because I know it's not, because I've read, you know, 80% of her other work is much better.
Right. Anyway. So
I was really disappointed in this.
Maybe, you know, when we're through the first story arc and then it can just be her as Batgirl, maybe it'll be a different situation.
I will say, if this is going to be the tone of Batgirl, I am no longer going to be a Batgirl reader, because I don't like books that have this tone. I want some of my books to take place during the goddamn day.
Okay. Comic-related, non-comic item of the week.
Comic-related, non-comic item of the week.
What?
What was yours?
We are on War Rocket Ajax this week, which we've mentioned several times.
Yep.
There was that crazy dude who wanted to ban, who has banned all Grant Morrison books from his comic book store.
Is it because?
Because Superman? No. It's because Superman at one point gets hit by a train and says, but Grant Morrison wrote it GD.
Like goddamn?
Yeah. And this guy thinks Superman said goddamn, and Superman, being the embodiment of apple pie, would never say goddamn, because Superman is a Christian.
Which is, you know, way worse than, say, breaking a guy's ribs or something,
yeah,
which he actually does do.
Well, no, because it's taking the Lord's name in vain.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand what the problem is.
Right.
And I'm saying it's much worse than, you know, being violent.
Of course it is.
Whatever. I mean,
yeah, it's absurd. Absolutely absurd.
It's absurd, and it's one dude, and everyone's just like, whatever, dude.
Well, everyone's laughing at him,
yeah,
is what's going on.
Right.
But,
and it very well could have been Grant Morrison insinuating that.
I don't think Superman it was. I think it was Superman day. Saying, which, you know, how else are you going to write?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
so,
I will say, Superman coming from another planet, not a Christian.
Yeah. So, you know. mine was just that we're on War Rocket Ajax.
Yeah. We said that like 8 times.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, really.
Iron Man Armored Adventures didn't have a show this week.
Right.
We haven't watched Doctor Who yet.
Right.
Louis
season finale was pretty funny.
Yeah. That's not comic related. I mean, he's a comic. But,
he's a comic, but other than that.
What else? No, nothing else.
Yeah. There weren't any
movies
or...
We've been playing Versus again.
We have. That is actually a good one. We found a computer program so that we can play Versus with new card sets, and it's been pretty fun.
It has been pretty fun. I am 2-1. Evie is 1-2, but we've only played 3 games.
Yep.
Next one, she can tie it up. My New Warriors and Teen Titans team beat her Secret Six and X-Factor team.
Right.
Her... Who was it you used? Shadow Pact and...
Runaways. Did that win?
No. That didn't win.
What was the other one I used?
I don't remember.
Thunderbolts and something?
Yes, it was Thunderbolts and Birds... No, Thunderbolts, Shadow Pact beat my JLI Defenders team.
Right.
And... No. My JLI Defenders team beat your Runaways Birds of Prey team.
Ah, right.
It was your Shadow Pact Thunderbolts team that beat my... who the hell was it? I don't remember.
The problem, of course...
Oh, Gotham Knights, Marvel Knights.
Right. The problem is that, you know, we're playing with these cards, and I don't know what the... We're going into it with the... Every team has, like, some kind of strategy behind it.
Right.
Like, that... You're supposed to use that these characters all have certain powers that like allow you to use a strategy to try to win the game. We start playing these games without looking at the cards. I'm not taking the time to like study them and figure out what the strategy is. So we're just like going along playing. So I'm certainly not using these cards to their full potential in any way, shape, or form. But it's still
a lot of fun, because you get to say, I'm going to attack Sasha Bordeaux with Molly from Runaways.
Yeah, exactly.
What's Molly's last name?
Hayes.
Thank you, Molly Hayes.
All right. First or last book of the week.
first or last of the week.
I am going to go with Animal Man number one, which was my favorite of the DC number ones.
Absolutely. I have a three-way tie.
Oh, my goodness.
And in a book of all number ones at DC, only one of my three-way ties is actually from DC.
All right.
I am also going to give first or last of the week to X-Factor 224.1 by Peter David and Valentin Delandro, which is, this is what these number .1 issues are supposed to actually friggin' be.
Right.
Which is one and done. This is an explanation of who the team is.
Right.
That makes sense in the context of the story. And it's an interesting story, nonetheless, right, which it really was.
And you could never have read this in your life and still...
You could never have read X-Factor ever and still totally understand what was going on.
And want to keep reading it because there is a sort of cliffhangery thing at the end that it's, you know, suggests that perhaps...
We will revisit this story,
yeah.
I also liked the first of the new era of Thunderbolts, the Golden Age Thunderbolts,
yes.
Thunderbolts 163. But I want to talk about Animal Man more because this book was so much fun.
Yes. This is by Jeff Lemire, and who did the art?
Travel Foreman.
Okay. So this is, you know, kind of a reintroduction to Animal Man. It starts off with an interview in The Believer, which is kind of funny. That they actually use like a real publication, mm-hmm, as opposed to just some fake one that they made up.
Head book.
Yeah.
Face space.
It was this great thing about, you know, Animal Man trying to, he's getting into stunts again. He's not really being a hero all that much.
No, he's becoming an actor rather than getting into stunts.
Oh, right. He had been in
he
stunts.
Had been
now
in stunts.
He's being an actual actor. That's right. And he's not really doing the heroing thing that much, but he does every once in a while. And then he does in this case, which I forget, he has to go to where does he have to go?
He went to
a laboratory.
Yeah, hospital of some sort.
Oh, like, yeah.
This is the second book I read this week, so it's a little bit
Yeah, me too.
Hazy.
I read it really early on, so yeah. I'm a little hazy on it. But then, like, it goes completely whacktastic at the end.
Well, he had a dream in which his little girl is killing animals. And
right. And then at the end...
At the end,
it turns out that it looks like she has, like, some kind of weird thing. She's either collecting dead animals, just collecting them, which doesn't make any sense, or she has some kind of thing where she can kind of tap into, like...
The dead animal field.
The way he can tap into the live animal field. And so she's been wanting a dog, and he's been telling her, we can't have a dog because if I am too close to a single animal, then it throws off all my
shit. All he gets is dog powers.
Yeah, like all he'll get is dog powers, and it will just throw everything off. So she's been really upset because they can't get a dog. So instead, she apparently has been... like collecting, tapping into these.
Well, this
dead
is his dream.
Animals.
So we don't know if this is actually what's happening.
No. He wakes up.
Oh fuck! You're right.
Never mind. He has a dream about his daughter doing something crazy.
Right.
And then he wakes up.
Lo and behold,
his wife and his son are like, "Get the fuck down here!" And he goes outside, and she's just got like she's like petting like a dead rabbit or something, and it's
like
seems
skeleton.
Like, right,
dead.
Skeleton. You know, some of them with some fur. You know, like not that long ago dead. And it seems as if she has some kind of connection with the dead animal morphogenetic,
right,
whatever it's called, field, which is, and it starts off and you're like, you don't think it's going to end this creepy at all. Like there's no indication that it's going to go in this fucked up direction.
But this was really fantastic.
Yeah. It's really good.
Absolutely. The best of this week's DC number ones.
All right, book of the week.
Book of the week.
I have a tie for book of the week.
I also have a tie for book of the week.
My tie for book of the week is Mystic number 2, which we have talked about, which is a lot of fun, and
yes.
I really like this a lot.
Get it.
You should get
Go
it.
Go get it.
And The Boy is number 58.
Yes.
Which is a revelation of even more of the Homelander's terribleness, and also,
well, and the fight, the big, it looks like the big fight is starting.
Yes, yeah, the big
fight.
The
one that we've been leading up to for 58 issues.
Right, is about, and I'm a little worried because I don't know how many issues The Boys is going to be.
I don't either.
And I'm starting to get really worried it's going to end soon.
Yeah.
And that would suck. The only thing I could find, like, on Wikipedia is that he said it might go up to 72 issues. I'm hoping it does go all the way to 72.
Let's hope.
I hope it goes more than that, but it probably won't. Because we're certainly getting to the
it's been climactic. Building to this, yeah. To this fight between the Boys and the Seven. And
right.
The end of this issue, the Boys go up to the roof of the Flatiron Building, and Billy Butcher has a great line that's like, anyone who doesn't live in this city is a fucking asshole, or something, something like that.
Oh, yeah, because they get to the roof and they look out. And
they look out at New York City.
New York City and just the great view or something. And yeah.
And then the Seven show up on the roof of the Flatiron Building. Right. And then it's...
And they're like, hey, are we going to do this?
Let's, now? Yeah. Is this a good time?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. And it gets into some of the, you know, Maeve has been actually helping the Boys for a long time. Again, you know, unbeknownst to the Seven, and she is now getting spooked and siding with her own team, and it's really good.
Bad times.
And then Mystic is just a really fun,
rollicking
fantasy.
It's a rollicking romp.
Fantasy about class and teenage girls, and
it's like Cinderella meets Hogwarts.
Yeah, or like something like that.
It's not really anything like that, but kind of a little bit, or like Oliver. Like Oliver.
Yeah,
Oliver
meets it's got, actually, I will say, there is a somewhat of like a kind of Doctor Who vibe about the city itself.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, I can totally see Doctor Who like landing on this particular
place. I mean, it's got good elements of pretty
also,
much
it is
any
a different planet.
Sci-fi. And,
it's actually a different planet.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Of any sci-fi and fantasy.
Right.
It's got all the best elements of any of those stories and your typical sort of fairy tale kind of orphan makes good and or orphan becomes revolutionary, which I guess isn't in many fairy tales, but should be.
Right. What are your,
my tie is between the Boys and X-23 number 14, which was a hell of a lot of fun. And it's, I miss Marvel cosmic stuff. So I'm going to take it where I can get it.
Right. Well, and it's going to come to Earth.
I know. I don't want it to be on Earth. I want it to be in space. I know it'll be those characters. But it's like, it's nice to see these characters going out in space. And I just really like the characterization. I like the way Marjorie Liu writes Laura as sort of, she's not really a regular person.
No, and she never has been. I mean, she's always been this sort of
stilted, very serious, deadpan kind of.
Right. I liked the way she was written also in that weird high school one that Catherine Immonen did.
Pixie Strikes Back or something that.
And
yeah.
She was the same way, but she was like a high school girl who was just like completely out of place and strange. But
She's actually sort of like, who was the girl with the alien from Princess Nine?
The girl with the alien from Princess Nine.
Yuko? Who was the girl who had the alien friend?
I forget which one that was. She had a fake alien friend?
Well, it was never really revealed whether it was fake or not. People thought it was fake, and then they kind of hinted that it might not have been fake.
But she was really strange.
Yuki. Yuki is highly mysterious and quiet, possibly not even of this world, never without her alien companion Fifi, whom she keeps with her at all times. Yuki is a superb fielder who is always in the right place at the right time. God, go watch Princess Nine, you guys.
Everybody watch Princess Nine. It's so good.
It's so fucking... We need to watch it again.
Like, even if you don't like anime, if you like baseball, watch Princess Nine.
Yeah. No, oh, man, this series.
It's so good.
This series was really fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I've watched it twice in its entirety.
I've watched it 1.5 times, and then we didn't finish
when did you
it
watch
the
it?
Time.
The
Well, we started... I think we started watching a bunch of them again with your sister.
Oh, we watched like 2 or 3.
Oh, okay.
There's 26.
All right. So I haven't watched it 1.5 times. I watch it 1 times plus a couple of episodes.
It's really amazing. We also should watch Chobits again because that was a great series too. Yeah. Anyway, I think we're done.
Yeah. So do I.
150 of these fuckers in the can.
In the motherfucking can.
Hell yeah. No one can hear you because you're like 8 feet away from
the mic. I'm stretching. I said in the motherfucking can.
Okay.
All right.
So,
Have an awesome week.
Have an awesome 150 weeks. Now we don't have to say it again. No, okay. We'll keep saying it.
And remember, and thank you again to our listeners.
Yes, thank you, Teen Patrol.
Teen Patrol,
seriously, we could not have done it without you. And we couldn't have done it without any of you.
That's
really
right.
Every single time one of you guys listens to the show and becomes our friend on Twitter or leaves a comment with your own choices for picks, you're adding to the community. You're
right.
Giving us more reason to do this. You're saying, hey, you guys are making a good product. Go get 'em, Tiger. If you are all Mary Jane, which I assume a couple of you might be. There might be a Mary Jane or two who listens to the show.
Possibly.
If you're a Mary Jane who listens to the show, send us an email. Otherwise, a Mary or a Jane.
Have an awesome week.
Have an awesome week regardless of what your name is.
Right.
But the point is, we did it. 150. High five it. Whoa, that was a great high five.
That hurt.
It did not hurt.
Hurt me.
Oh my goodness, you're such...
But it was all for a good cause.
It was all for a great cause. Have an awesome
week, everybody.
Thank you, Teen Patrol. Have much flow.
Well, anyway, so what are some highlights?
I don't know. You've got the email.
I sent the whole thing to you, and you said you were. Ugh.
Yeah, you sent it to me, and I looked at it.
I thought you were incorporating. I said, "When are we going to do this?" And I swear, you said we're going to do it during the sponsorship.
I did, and we are.
And
right
now
is the sponsorship.
I thought you incorporated it into your
no.
Planning.
I incorporated the plan. I don't my planning.
You do. You plan out the sponsors and you write it all out. So
hang
on.
Let me log into my damn Gmail. Gmail.com. Whoops. I shouldn't say my password out loud.
Yeah, probably you shouldn't say your password out loud.
Nope. I'm going to put in a little thing to beep that. Beep. There we go. All right. So some highlights. Are you ready for some highlights?
I'm ready.